Well, it is Friday, and so it's Friday with Jim, and I'm your host, Jim Wilkins. Kate Brister will be engineering for us today, and you might have noticed our theme song was changed a little bit today. It was Scandinavian, because we're going to talk about the Scandinavian festival that's coming up, the Midsummer Festival. And I'm happy to have with me in the studio Abby Johnson and Janet Bowler, who are going to be talking about various aspects of the festival. Thank you guys for being here.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Abby, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your history with the festival.
Okay, so I am 20 years old, and I have been to all 19 festivals that have happened in my lifetime. I'm Norwegian, which comes from my mother's side and my grandma before her, and I've been involved in the festival, like I said, forever. I had the honor of being Miss Scandinavia in 2014, and so now I just kind of enjoy helping behind the scenes and keeping it alive in our community.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Janet, tell me about your history with the festival.
Well, I've been in Astoria almost 40 years now, and I started attending the Scandinavian Festival in 1997, just as an observer. And my background is Norwegian, like Abby's. And my husband and I started dancing with the Scandia dancers in about 96. And we danced for several years, and then we took over the raffle booth at the festival to help fundraise for festival entertainment. And then about 6 years, I became entertainment coordinator. So now I track down the groups that are going to entertain at the festival.
Yeah, so you bring bands in from all over. And I'm wondering about the attendees of the festival. They come from all around?
They do. Yeah, we estimate about 50% of the people are first-time visitors, and they come from a wide area, all around the states, and we get people from foreign countries, too.
Do you have any idea of how many people will show up?
Well, it's hard for us to tell because one admission allows you to come back for 3 days. Uh-huh. But our best guess is about 6,000.
And how much is the admission?
Admission is very reasonable. It's $8 for the whole weekend.
Wow. And this happens at the Clatsop County Fairgrounds.
Yes, and it'll be June 17th, 18th, and 19th. Our festival is always the third weekend in June.
Right. Well, let's talk about some of the activities that we're going to be seeing out here. One, of course, the festival used to be held at the high school, but then because of the alcoholic beverages, particularly the beer garden, a controversy erupted, and so the festival moved to the fairgrounds where we do have a beer garden.
Yes, that's right. We really strive to keep the festival family friendly, and we really, you know, have activities for all ages, obviously, with we have the Barnafest for kids, and then, you know, their parents can go enjoy the music and entertainment at the beer garden and those kinds of things. Generally, the festival will start off Friday evening with the Queen's Coronation, where we have the 2016 Princesses of the Court will be competing to, we'll have Miss Denmark, Miss Finland, Miss Norway, and Miss Sweden will give a speech on what their national heritage means to them, and one of them will have the honor of becoming 2016 Miss Scandinavia. And then they will kind of, they're more the ambassadors for the festival and will kind of lead all the activities throughout the weekend.
Now I see on Saturday you've got something called the Optog Walking Parade.
Yes.
Is that happening downtown then?
No, I believe it's a walk through the fairgrounds. And one of the great things about the Scandinavian culture is these beautiful costumes that come from our different areas. Like my family personally is from the Trondheim district of Norway. And so I have what's called a Trondelag or a Tronderbunad, which represents the area of my where my family's from, and like my mother has the same costume and my sister, but we all have them in different colors. And so it's a great chance to kind of see the different costumes from the different areas through the Optog parade and that kind of thing.
I would like to interject here just because you've hit on one of my most favorite traditions of the Scandinavian festival is seeing the fabulous costumes. I had an opportunity to go to Norway about a year ago, and I spent a lot of time studying the embroidery of the bundas and the different fabric and things like that of these costumes, and they are absolutely magnificent, every one. I'm curious, Abby, a lot of these can be tremendously expensive when they're ordered or they're made by someone else. Tell me about how you acquired yours and in your family.
Well, I had a smaller version of my bunad when I was in like first grade, and of course I outgrew it. So when I was kind of wanting to be in the running to become Miss Norway, we started researching how we could get me another Trondre bunad. And so we actually had a friend of a friend who was going to Norway, and in Norway they have these factories where they're made, and it cracked me up because my mom was so concerned with kind of how much fabric and stuff would come that I think the measurements she gave was that I was like 6 foot and 250 pounds to make sure that we would have enough fabric to make the costume. And so then when we got it back into the States, Ginger Davis has a huge role in creating these costumes for the men and women of the community, and so she helped.
I'll bet that's an all-year, part-time oversight thing for her, isn't it?
Yes,
because to make sure these are up to shape. Mm-hmm,
as much as we try not to, people gain weight, luckier people lose weight, so we're kind of always mending these costumes to make sure that they fit.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I also have a nice costume from Norway with a different means of acquiring it. I got it from a broker on the internet, and my costume was pre-worn in Norway by a teacher. It's signed on the inside. The person who did the embroidery autographed my costume on the inside. And when I bought the bunad, I also had to buy the blouse, the jewelry, the cufflinks, the hat, the jacket. So it was a complete package, all or nothing.
If you've never seen some of these costumes, they are absolutely magnificent. And that's just one of the nifty things, that unexpected surprises that you find at the Scandinavian Festival. I think one of the things that excites me this year too is that you have some representation from some groups from Scandinavia that are coming here for the festival to entertain. Do you have an opportunity to dance with these guys when they come and hang out with them a little bit?
They love it when people dance with their music. And there will be three trios coming from Scandinavia, one from Finland, Denmark, and Sweden. And we have two stages. And in front of one of the stages is a nice dance floor. And the musicians love it when people get out on the dance floor and dance to their music. Almost all of these tunes were originally dance tunes, so that's what they're intended for.
And then also there's going to be a big bonfire, as I understand it. Can you tell us about that, and how long has that been going on?
Well, my understanding is it's been all 49 years of the festival. And so what will happen is Miss Scandinavia will be crowned, and then she will kind of lead a procession out to this sort of bonfire, and we have these hex dolls, which are these straw dolls put together, and so everybody has the opportunity to throw one into the fire, and it will kind of bring you good luck for the coming year and rid you of bad luck as well.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
Jim, like, you could do that. You need to go get some good luck.
Yeah, I've had pretty good luck lately. Now, also on Friday, we have the walking parade we talked about, but the flag presentation. That's kind of a ceremony of some sort. Can you describe it?
Yeah, that will be on Saturday morning. And so each you know, country, obviously, like us, they have a flag and they have a national anthem. And so we actually have people from within the community who have learned these national anthems in the different languages. And so they will sing them, and then we will raise the flags up just to kind of as a sign of respect. And then the princesses associated with each country will kind of walk out to it. And it's really kind of a symbolic moment. And it's really neat. I don't know. I always feel a certain sense of pride when the Norwegian national anthem is played and things, because it really is neat to keep that going and that people have learned these songs and that kind of thing.
Now, Janet, I know that you're a musician yourself. I'm wondering if you could talk about the bands that are coming and the kind of music that we're going to hear, the instrumentation and such.
Well, there are three trios in each group that people are. Many of them are classically trained and then have crossed over into the folk and traditional style. Some of them come from jazz backgrounds too. Some of them are writing their original music. And we have unusual instruments. Each group this year has an accordion and a fiddle. And then one of the groups has a keyboard. Another one has a cello. That'll be nice to hear that group. Mm-hmm. In one of the groups, and the other group has a guitar. And in one of the groups, one of the musicians will be playing nickel harpa, which is a keyed stringed instrument that is quite distinctive. So all three, the group from Denmark has won the equivalent of 18 Grammys between the three men, the Danish Grammy Award. And so they're very accomplished musicians. I think no matter what kind of music people usually listen to, I think they would appreciate having a chance to listen to some of these top musicians from Northern Europe. I'm going to be there all weekend listening to every note.
Yeah. Now, do you have to amplify that music, or is it played acoustically?
At both stages, those are large rooms. We'll have Bruce Smith of Seaside will be doing the sound, and he does a terrific job. It'll sound super.
Right. And then on Saturday, we have the flag raising and the Midsummer's Pole. Abby, could you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, so after they do the flag raising, we have the Midsummer's Pole, which kind of is the huge symbol for the festival in general. And so it gets decorated with flowers and all sorts of things, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. And for some reason that I'm not sure of, we actually put a little chicken on top. And so once we decorate that pole, we have to get it upright. So we need a lot of strong, sturdy, not necessarily Scandinavian men to help get that flag vertical. And then we will dance around it to music and all sorts of things. And it's just a really fun event. So,
Well, many years ago, there used to be every year there would be the tug of war. The Danes and the Swedes and everybody would tug of war, but that's no longer the case. What's happened there?
I actually don't remember the tug of war, so that would be more of a question for Janet.
Well, it turned into a liability problem, so we had to give up the tug of war. But like Abby said, we still need the strong men and sturdy women to pull up the Midsummer Pole. We have a gigantic Midsummer Pole. It really takes a lot of people to get that up in the air. And one of the other traditions that is falling aside this year is the Viking battles. Their liability insurance says they can no longer swing their swords at each other, but the Vikings will be there and they will be doing sword demonstrations without actually hitting each other this year.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
There's still lots of fun at the festival, and we should probably talk about the beer garden. The Astor Street Opry is going to be entertaining out in the beer garden three times on Saturday, and that is standing room only. So you want to get there early for that. And in between times, the Squeezer and the Geezer are going to be entertaining between the Astor Street Opry shows. And the Squeezer is Corinne Bergholm on accordion, and many local people know her and love her music. And she'll be accompanied by the Geezer on trombone or tuba, which is Ken, her partner. So there'll be the beer garden will be a fun time, and it's for all ages too.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'd like to remind our listeners that it's Friday here at Coast Community Radio. I'm your host, Jim Wilkins, ably assisted by Kate Brister on the engineering end of the spectrum here, and also joining in the discussions when she feels the need.
Well, I feel the need for a little bit of music. How would you like to hear a little bit of music from the festival for a moment?
Can we hear some Scandinavian-type music?
No, I brought Italian, Jim.
Welcome back to our discussions about the Scandinavian Midsummer Festival with Abby Johnson and Janet Bowler. Now, Abby, you don't just kind of start doing this. Isn't there a certain amount of preparation that's necessary to learn about the history and a certain amount of studying that you have to do to become qualified, I suppose?
Yeah, to become a princess for the festival, we do have several lodges throughout the community, like the Danish Society, the Finnish Brotherhood, the Sons of Norway, and the Swedish Vasa Lodge, and we do have a smaller Icelandic presence as well. And so they will actually pick the princesses from to represent them each year, and so it is a little bit of a competition, a little selection process to be chosen for that. And then these girls, especially the senior princesses who are typically high school juniors and seniors, spend basically January through June being these ambassadors for the festival. And really, they have to learn about their family history and traditions and find a costume as well to represent them. And so then at the festival, kind of the finale of this process is about a 5-minute speech, which is completely memorized and terrifying, if I remember correctly, on what my national heritage means to me. And so these ladies throughout the year will kind of build on their experiences and their family histories to give this speech to the community to kind of say, you know, what they've learned.
Do you remember your speech?
I do. I kind of took a different spin on it. My grandfather, Lauren Matthews, has been a huge presence in the festival for many years. But the ironic thing is he's not Scandinavian at all. He is from Kansas and arrived here through the Coast Guard and met my grandma, who was a Norwegian woman, in hip boots on their first date. And so, you know, he really kind of stepped up and learned about the history and has a few different costumes that he wears. And then my mother kind of did the same thing. She found a completely non-Scandinavian guy from Warrenton and brought him into it. So I think kind of, and what I talked about in my speech is it's not how much Scandinavian you are. Like, I'm only 1/8 Norwegian, which isn't very much in the grand scheme of things, but it really is kind of about how you represent those values. And that's why we encourage anybody to get involved in the festival. It doesn't matter if you're Scandinavian or not. We just want to keep these traditions alive, and if people enjoy celebrating them, then we welcome them.
Now, Janet, I know there's some organizational work being done for the Scandinavian Immigrant Monument.
Correct.
Tell me about that.
Well, this idea has been around for years, and because our 50th festival, the 50th anniversary of the Scandinavian Festival is next year, it was sort of the push we needed to get started. And we had a grant from the Oregon Community Foundation, and that's given us the funds to get going on this. We've selected a site. It hasn't been approved by the city yet. And we've commissioned an artist, Roger McKay, to make a few artistic renditions of our design. And we're hoping to get those, the site and the design, approved by the Astoria Parks and Rec Department at the end of this month. And then we'll be going to the city council and making everything public and looking for funding from the community. So it's exciting. Our original plans were to have this finished by the 50th festival, which is next summer, and now we've modified that to we hope there'll be groundbreaking by next summer. But initial response has been very positive from around the state and a greater area.
Well, what site have you focused on tentatively?
Tentatively, it's called People's Park. It's across the street from Custard King. It's where, until recently, Rotary had a wooden observation deck. And Rotary took that down, and they're fine with us using that site for our park. It's part of the Astoria Parks and Rec properties. And so it would be on the river walk and overlooking the river, and welcome to downtown sign is across the street from it, so it meets many of our goals. It's visible, very visible. It's accessible, and we're going to build a low maintenance park that won't be a burden on the city.
Right. Do you have a website up?
Yeah, we have two websites. We have one website for the festival, which is AstoriaScanFest.com. And if you go there, there's complete information about all the entertainers, the activities, and a schedule. And there's information about the monument at FromScandinaviaToAstoria.org. That's all one word.
Hey, Abby, have you been to Scandinavia?
I have not, unfortunately. That is definitely one of the tasks on my bucket list once I'm finished up with college and have means to travel. But one of the things I've heard that I think is interesting is that the areas in Scandinavia that our ancestors are from actually look incredibly similar to Astoria, if you hear about that. So Astoria is a huge Scandinavian immigrant community. And so when they came over, you know, they wanted something that reminded them of home, so they chose a place that looked familiar, and they chose to settle here, and I am so glad they did, because Astoria is a wonderful community, and so I'm definitely excited to see this monument be erected, because it's, I think, a great representation of everything that Astoria kind of was built on and what it represents.
Wasn't there quite a settlement of Scandinavians in Minnesota, too?
Yes, there was. My great-great-grandfather actually started out in Minnesota kind of with the timber industry, and then for whatever reasons chose to come over here and kind of get started within the fishing industry. So I think everybody just kind of got here and moved around to find out, you know, what their niche was career-wise. And so,
well, historically, wasn't Uniontown Scandinavians or Finnish people in Uniontown,
right?
And Norwegian at the other end of
Upper
town.
Upper town, yes. And in the proposed design for our monument, we hope to have etched in the concrete pad of a map of Astoria and highlighting the different Scandinavian neighborhoods. And from our research so far, at one time, 35% of the residents of Astoria claimed to be of Scandinavian heritage. So it's not that way now, but the traditions and values and work ethic that the Scandinavians brought to Astoria are still a strong influence, and we'd like to recognize that and move it forward.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Also, there was quite a presence of Sikhs back then that entered into the community somehow.
Right, and there's a monument, or there's a marker to them behind Swami Hall. You can see that on the Riverwalk.
Now what, Abby, what is the Astor Street Opera Company going to be doing?
Well, they obviously have their Shanghai and Astoria production that they do every year at their location. But at the Scandinavian Festival, I believe they put on the Oli and Lena's wedding.
Not this year.
Not this year?
They'll be doing Oleo acts. They call them Oleo acts. And it's like a variety show. And they're auditioning that right these weeks right now. So it will be the best of the variety acts from Shanghai and Astoria in the beer garden. And, of course, with Chris Lynn Taylor in as Miss Macy or Miss Vivian or whatever, however she wants to appear.
Yeah. Also, I see something that's called the Viking Encampment. What is that?
Well, that is a group of men and women that come from Skaphus, and their official title is Empire of Chivalry and Steel. And they come down and portray what it would be like to live in the Middle Ages. And, you know, one thing we haven't talked about yet is the food at festival. And that's one reason many people find their way out to the fairgrounds. Maybe Abby's got a favorite food she wants to...
Yeah, I'm kind of, well, my grandmother, Coraline, has done her Krumkok and Tarts booth for about a million years and beyond that. And so, I love her food and all that, but then I'm also excited because this year I have a booth across from her. I work at Josephson's Smokehouse, which is down on Marine Drive. And so we're excited this year to kind of bring out some of our Scandinavian style smoked seafood and clam chowder and that kind of thing. So that will be an interesting opportunity for me to kind of be involved in a different aspect of the festival. And I'm also involved in the Sons of Norway, and we do flower lefse out there, which is a huge success, and people love it, and they generally sell out. The Danish Society will be doing able skeevers as well. And then the Daughters of Norway, I believe, does potato lefse. Mm-hmm. And the Finnish will have their fruit soup, which I know my dad always kind of makes them sell out of. He loves that, even though we're not Finnish whatsoever. And... then we'll also have the panna kakku breakfast on Sunday, which the Rotary puts on, which is a huge success as well. And the Scandinavian Cafe, I'm sure many people remember that as well. They do a fantastic brunch on Saturday mornings and then a very large Viking dinner on Saturday evenings. And so... I mean, there's definitely no shortage of food there. Many people who find their costumes, you know, looser on Friday are definitely, then they're tighter on Sunday. So it's kind of just a great opportunity.
And is the food included in the $8 fee?
It is not. So you will kind of, you know, just go pick what you like. Most of it is very reasonably priced. It's, you know, no... It's just great.
A lot of these are homemade and wonderful, wonderful, hearty, delicious food. And as Abby said, very reasonably priced. You can go and feed your family for about what it would cost you to do like one meal here in town. It's really a great way to have a terrific lunch or snack or dinner and then see some incredible Scandinavian exhibits.
Well, we're just about out of time, so I'd like to remind their listeners that this Scandinavian Festival this year is June 17th 18th and 19th, and it will be held at the Clatsop County Fairgrounds. And we've talked about a lot of the activities here today, but there's many more that we haven't discussed. And Janet Bowler, Abby, thank you both for being with us.
Yes, thank you.
And I look forward to eating some of that Scandinavian food.
Oh, you won't regret it.